You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
Good evening, church. How's it going? I haven't seen you since last year. I only get that one joke about the new year. Forgive me. How's everyone doing? Happy new year. We're in the 2020s now. This is amazing. We're just going to get set up here in a bit, but we're going to jump back into our Exiles series. We took a break last week because it was the last sermon of the new year, or the old year, the past year, and now we're getting back into it. And guess what? We're in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start from verse 8, going down to verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. Please stand with me as we give reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm so excited to get into this with you tonight. The first sermon of the new year of 2020. Okay, thank you. Praise God. Let's get into it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 12. It says this: "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this new year that you have brought this church into, O Lord, and this opportunity that where we get to come together as brothers and sisters to worship you, to exalt your name, and sit at your feet and learn from your word. Holy Spirit, we pray that you continue to minister to our hearts, that you would open our hearts to conviction, that you would open our hearts to your truth, O Lord, that none of your word would fall to the wayside, O God, but that it would bear much fruit in our lives today. Lord God, I pray that you would use me as your instrument of peace and bring all of this to your glory. In Jesus, your mighty name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Tell the person the title of my sermon tonight. Tell the person beside you, obtain a blessing. Obtain a blessing. Turn to them and say, obtain a blessing. You may sit down. Oh, it's one of those churches, huh? There is an old traditional Filipino greeting that young people are taught growing up in the Philippines. It's called mano. It's an act of bowing to the hand of anyone that is older than you, primarily elderly folk, and touching the back of their hand to your forehead. It's similar to giving a kiss to a hand, or a kiss, or if you were in ancient times or something, you're like kissing a ring or something like that. It's called mano. Actually, we're going to try this out right now. Maybe turn to the person beside you, figure out who's older and whatnot. And then if you're older, give your hand out to the person, all right? Give your hand out to the person, and then if you're the younger one, take their hand and smack your forehead with it. All right? Not too hard, right? And then if you're the older person, if you're a good, you're supposed to say, "God bless you, child." Awesome. The act is symbolic of requesting a blessing from the elder. It's requesting a blessing from the elder. And usually, if they're nice, like I said, they will say, "God bless you." It's funny because when I was a kid, I sort of abused this, right? My parents would always be like, "Ian, go ask for blessing. Go mano. And, you know, that's what they say, go ask for blessing, right? And I'm like, "Mom, I'm Canadian, not Filipino," right? And so, but in any case, I would do it because, you know, respect your elders and whatnot. And so I would ask for a blessing. And so as a kid, I was smacking my forehead with older people's hands and whatnot, right? Because everybody wants a blessing. Everybody wants a blessing. And what better way to start the new year and talking about blessings and obtaining blessings? But before we get into that, I think we need to, as a church, to redefine what it means to be blessed, or how blessing looks like. See, I think in our day and age, we have this skewed perspective of what blessing entails, of what blessing means. I found a shirt that was on sale, and I love it. Hashtag bless. You know, like, oh, okay. You know, here's a picture of my new car. Hashtag blessed, right? And that's sort of where our idea of blessings come from. The world has sort of equated blessing with bragging. And there's some genuine ones there too, right? You know, I'm hashtag blessed because I have family and friends, and I'm blessed because of the small things in life. But I think the world is still missing the mark when it comes to what it means to be blessed. And sometimes it can creep into the church as well. Maybe it's because some of the consumeristic mentalities have crept into the church over the years, or maybe because of, you know, the prosperity gospel preachings of, you know, if you sow a seed of faith today, you'll get this many seeds tomorrow. And, you know, all of these promises that are biblical in a sense. For the people who are listening to a podcast, I'm doing quotation marks because it's not biblical. And we understand that to be blessing because we have a skewed perspective of what blessing entails. It seems to be that whenever blessing is brought up, there's an automatic connotation to having material wealth, having possessions, having family and friends, good things. Or, you know, I'm blessed because I have a wife. I'm blessed because I have children. Or blessing is often associated with having and not rather than lacking. But what we see throughout Scripture is actually the opposite of this mentality. In fact, what we see is that being blessed is not about having materially, but rather lacking nothing spiritually. What we see in Scripture is being blessed means that you, it's not about having material things, but lacking nothing spiritually. Look at Jesus' famous Beatitudes, for example, from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, if you will, starting from verse 2. It says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.'" Notice how Jesus doesn't say, "Blessed are the rich because they have a lot of money," right? Or, "Blessed are the people who are always happy and are always smiling, are always joyful because, you know, they're content in life," or whatever. "Blessed are those who live in Florida because it's nice weather all the time and crocodiles or alligators, whatever." Jesus says that those who are poor in spirit, those who are mourning, those who are meek, those who are seeking for righteousness are the ones who are called blessed, not about material possessions. He goes on to say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, I love this, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." This is so backwards to our understanding of what it means to be blessed. No one is, you know, posting on their Facebook or on Instagram or on social media saying, "Got persecuted today, hashtag blessed," right? "Got called a bigot and an ignorant today because I follow Jesus, hashtag blessed." No one's doing that. And by the way, these Beatitudes, what Beatitudes means is the supreme blessedness. According to Jesus, this is the pinnacle of what it means to be blessed. So either Jesus is wrong, or we've adopted a skewed perspective on what it means to be blessed. So which one is it, church? And this is not to say that blessings have nothing to do with having material goods. It usually manifests itself in that. But this is to say that being blessed is not all about having materially, but more about lacking nothing spiritually. And in our passage tonight, as Peter continues to exhort the persecuted church of his day, he's reminding them of this kind of blessing, of what it really means to be blessed. Because understandably, being a people who face persecution on a daily basis, and being a people who are tempted with the lifestyles of the world, Peter addresses what it truly means to be blessed by God. And the desire for us tonight is to be reminded of the same things, that as we live in this world, out of the norm of this world, exiles in this world, that we do not pursue what the world sees or views as blessings, but rather that we would desire to pursue after the eternal things, the things that are truly blessings from the Lord, the things that truly declare that we have been blessed by a good God. My desire, church, is that as you start this new year, that you would truly be blessed, but also that you would be a blessing to others. And as a result, God would be honored all the more through your lives. So let's dive into our passage tonight and discover what it truly means to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. Everybody say dive. I'm trying something new, you know, using a different action verb for the new year. New year, new me kind of thing. So let's try it out. He says in verse 9 of our passage, Peter says in verse 9 of our passage tonight, we're starting from verse 9, but let's go back to verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Then he says in verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, what does it say? Bless, for this to you were called, that you may obtain a, what? Blessing. That you may obtain a blessing. Now, if this was some other kind of church, I'd probably leave it at that and be like, see, bless so that you can be blessed, right? Or that you were called to blessings and prosperity and this and that. So bless so that you can, what? Obtain a blessing. You know, God's word says it right here. Now, again, this is not that kind of church, but this is exactly why we need to redefine how we understand blessing, or else this verse can be read as if we're blessing others just to receive blessings, or just to be blessed materially, for that matter, which is untrue. We need to broaden our scope of how we understand what it means to be blessed. So Peter says that we can obtain a blessing, and that we're called to be blessed, we're called to bless, but understand the context of this kind of blessing that Peter is referring to in our passage. First and foremost, understand that the original Greek for the bless or blessing in our passage is eulogia, to speak well of, to praise. It's a verbal cue, not a material or physical one. It's a description of a state of being rather than what you have. So already Peter is pointing out the fact that being blessed is not about what you possess, but mostly about how you perceive. Meaning a guy can have $1 million and have everything in the world, and we would think that he's blessed when in reality he's alone and miserable. Meanwhile, someone else can have nothing but value whatever he does have and consider himself blessed all the time. Again, blessing is not about what you possess, but how you perceive. And with this in mind, what Peter is saying here is that, again, in the context of this, he's saying that you can be a blessing, or that you can bless rather than repay evil for evil. It's in the context of relationships, and it's in the context of what we say. For example, when people do evil to you or revile you, instead of repaying them evil for evil or reviling them in return, bless them instead. Confer good to them. The Greek word for blessing means to praise or to speak well of. Instead of reviling back or slandering back, instead you consider them, you perceive them in a better light. As a result, you will be blessed. So here's the first thing. If you want to be blessed this year, if you want to obtain a blessing this year, right? Regard others with love. Regard others with love. Peter says if you want to obtain a blessing, bless others by regarding them in a manner that is opposite the evil ways that they are regarding you. Regard then with love. Let's backtrack a little. It says again in verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, right? A tender heart and a humble mind. These are opposite of what we would repay someone if they'd done evil to us. Where is Peter getting these sentiments from? Where is Peter getting these ideas from? Well, Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 5. Again, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, it says this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who loved you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Peter is just restating what he learned from Christ in his Sermon on the Mount. Listen, if you want a blessing, regard others in love, especially those you would call your enemy. Elsewhere in Scripture, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Feeding them, giving them something to drink, these are all demonstrations of care, of kindness, of love displayed by offering material goods. Prior to this passage in Romans, Paul also says, let love be genuine. He also says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. And unless you're confused about the heaping of burning coals on them, Paul also says, vengeance is the Lord in the same passage. So don't think that when Paul says that doing good things is a way to pay back your enemy and get vengeance and act vengeance on them. That's not what he's getting at. In fact, he's speaking of something much deeper. He's speaking here of the natural effect of doing good that has on our enemies, that it would cause them pain in the sense of shame and remorse and regret of what they have done, and bring them to a place of conviction that has the potential to lead them to repentance in Christ. And listen, if our doing good to our enemies has the potential of convicting them to the point of repentance and pointing them to Christ, it is a desirable thing then to do good, to bless our enemies. Listen, if you want to obtain a blessing, regard others with love. Show kindness to the coworker who gossips about you. Buy a coffee for the guy who makes fun of you because of your faith. Forgive the person that has wronged you, even if they don't deserve it, with the hopes that your kindness towards them would convict them and even point them to Christ, a need for a Savior. To this you were called, to love your enemies so that you could obtain a blessing. But here's the catch. Don't expect that blessing that you're going to be obtaining in return to be material blessings. It could be that, but don't expect that. Expect the same kind of blessing in return instead. Kindness in return, sympathy in return, honor, respect. Expect to be regarded with love in return. Expect to be helped as you have helped in return. If you want to obtain a blessing, regard others in love. Regard others in love. Secondly, if we want a blessing in this new year, if we want to obtain a blessing in this new year, again, with the mindset that blessing is not so much about what we possess, but how we perceive things, and not so much about what we collect materially, but what we confer spiritually. Another way we can obtain a blessing is by blessing others when you restrain your tongue. When you restrain your tongue. It says in our passage, continuing on, verse 10, it says, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Peter here is actually quoting Psalm 34, verse 12 to 16, if you want to get that reference. What he's saying is, hey, guess what? A long life, good days, that's hashtag blessed, right? Everybody wants to live long. Everybody wants to have good days. Am I correct? Or nobody wants to live long and just have bad days, right? Or, you know, suffering for the Lord kind of thing. That's cool too. But hey, but that's blessing, right? That's what we all want. Well, he's saying in this passage, if you want that, if you desire to love life and see good days, then guess what? Restrain your tongue. Restrain your tongue. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs in my personal Devo times because I want to grow in wisdom. And what I've found is that a recurring theme throughout the book of Proverbs is that of what we say and what we don't say. That there's blessings and cursings in the things that we say and we don't say. Just some examples here for you. Proverbs 21 verse 23 says, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Proverbs 26:20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And when there is no whisperer or gossiper, quarreling ceases." Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul." The common theme here is that when we don't restrain our tongue, we get into trouble. And when we do, we're blessed for it. Proverbs 18:21, this is a very famous verse, right? "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." The verse gets taken out of context a lot, and I know I've said it before too, you know, speak life, man, not death, right? And some churches take this verse to the extreme and have it mean that you can speak things into existence, right? Just how God created the universe and spoke it into existence, and you too can speak things into existence. So speak all blessings and prosperity into your life now. Do it now. No, that's not, right? Because that's not what this verse or this passage means. If we are looking at this passage contextually, knowing that the book of Proverbs has practical advice of wisdom, we can take it for what it is and conclude, connecting it to the other verses, of course, in Proverbs, that when what we say has the ability to either give us life of flourishing, a life of flourishing, or a life of much trouble. The point is we must be weary about what we say. And if we want to bless and be blessed, we need to restrain our tongue. Again, our passage says, "For whoever desires to love life and be and see good days," right? That's what we want, hashtag blessed, right? "Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Again, putting this in the context of relationships with others and how we can be a blessing, especially to those who offend, especially to those who we would consider enemies. Here, listen to this principle. There is mercy in silence. There is mercy in silence. If you want to love on the person who gossips about you, someone who reviles you, someone who hurts you, a way you can love on them is restraining your tongue. Not talking back, not gossiping back, not reviling or slandering back. See, what we often like to do, especially if someone hurts us, is that we like to amass armies, right? It's like, oh, you hurt me. Well, I'm going to get everybody that doesn't like you, and we're going to talk about you in this light. We're going to slander you in this light. We like to amass armies. But if you want to be a blessing to others, especially your enemies, or even to your friends, restrain your tongue. Think about what you're going to say. Here's some questions to ask before you say something to another person, and maybe some practical questions to apply as you enter into this new year so that you can save yourself from a lot of trouble. Because I don't know about you, I say a lot of things that I probably shouldn't say because I don't think through what I say, right? So here are some questions that you can ask yourself before you talk to a person and whether you're questioning whether you should say something to them. Here's some questions. What are my intentions? When I'm going to go say something to someone, what are my intentions? Am I trying to wound them? Am I trying to hurt them? Am I trying to enact vengeance on them? What are my intentions with what I'm going to say? Is what I'm saying edifying? Is what I'm saying edifying? Is it going to build up my brother? Is it going to encourage my sister? Is it even correct what I'm going to say? Is what I'm saying edifying? And this goes on to the second point. Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm saying based on assumptions, on hearsay, on gossip, or is it true? Have I heard it firsthand? Is this the right time to say this? This is a good one, right? Especially if you're in a relationship or you're married or something, right? And you want to say something to your spouse and make sure it's a right time to say it, not when, you know, she's already mad at you or something, right? Just an example. Is this the right time to say this? Is this the right time to say this? Are you in the right mindset to tell them the truth? Or are you just speaking the truth because you want to hurt them, right? Or are they in the right mindset to hear it, right? Sometimes, you know, when you're in an argument, one side is just completely emotional and one side is just completely logical and you're trying to tell them the truth, but because they're not there, you need to wait and let things calm down before you bring the truth in. Is there a better time to say these things, right? Here's another tip. Is what I'm saying honoring to God? Is what I'm saying honoring to God? Does it consider what Scripture has to say about the situation, about the matter? Does it bring glory to God, what I'm about to say to this individual? And if what you're going to say fails in any of these lights, in any of these questions, there again, there is mercy in silence. There is mercy in silence. Elder Benji spoke about taming the tongue a couple of months ago, and he has a great sermon on that, so you can listen to that on our podcast. And that's a more extensive study than this point tonight. But listen, if you want to be a blessing and you want to bless others, restrain your tongue. Restrain your tongue. Let's go to verse 11 of our passage. It says this: let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. If we want to bless and be blessed, we must run towards righteousness. Run towards righteousness. This passage is still in the context of whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Then he goes on to say, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Back to the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 5, it says this. Again, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Listen, if you want to live a blessed life, you need to actively pursue righteousness. Jesus says to hunger and thirst for it. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. A desire, a need for it. Blessings in having, you are blessed when you have a pure heart, when you are a peacemaker. There are blessings promised to us when we pursue the things of God, when we choose righteousness over injustice, as we mentioned last week. Listen, there is blessings in righteousness. God's way is freedom from sin. It's freedom from hurt. It's freedom from the troubles of this life. Again, Jesus said that he's come to give life and give life abundantly. A life that's blessed. A life that is flourishing. Choose righteousness. Choosing righteousness is choosing a life of blessing. Because alternatively, to follow or to not choose righteousness is following after sin and the things of this world. And there's no rewards in that, just regrets. Paul says to Timothy after discussing the ways of the world and in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. The things of this world. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. And he echoes the same sentiments in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The idea here is that if you are not fleeing from sin, then you are pursuing it, really. The idea here is that if you are not actively pursuing righteousness, it means you are passively fleeing sin. And there's no winning against sin if you are passively defending yourself against it. It's like in basketball, right? Like, oh, block him. Run towards righteousness. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. There's also there's already a blessing being proclaimed on the person who is not entertaining just evil in itself, or even those who would desire evil. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's what we want this year, right? We want to prosper in the new year. We want to have a life that is flourishing, that is filled with God's blessings, that is not lacking anything spiritually and, of course, materially. Then we must run towards righteousness. He's blessed, again, because he is fleeing sin. He's running towards righteousness. If you want to be blessed this year and be a blessing to others, run towards righteousness. What would be the godly way of approaching or pursuing that relationship? What is the right way to pursue that business endeavor? What is the most glorifying way to utilize your time? Most glorifying way to God, to utilizing your treasures, your finances. Pursue righteousness. Run towards righteousness if you want to obtain a blessing. So, first test of the year, all right? If you want to obtain a blessing, you need to what? Mumbles. I heard mumbles. Come on, church. If you want to obtain a blessing, regard with love, restrain your tongue, and run towards righteousness. Amen. I love how our passage closes here. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Again, it's echoing, it's reinforcing this idea of us, the necessity of pursuing and running towards righteousness. In order that that our desires, the things that we lift up in prayer to God, would be received and would be blessed and would receive favor. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 to 8, I love this passage as well. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like the tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Again, blessing is not about having. Blessing is not about having, but in your times of lacking that you're completely satisfied. Blessing is not about collecting and amassing possessions in this world, but is really recognizing and contentment what we do have in Christ. I want to say something very serious and very true, and maybe you've forgotten this as a believer, but listen, we are truly blessed when our trust is fully in our Savior. The greatest blessing that we have in this life as believers is our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we've been forgiven of our sins, that God has paid for the punishment of our sins on the cross of Jesus Christ, and he has made a right relationship between us and the Father. We've been reconciled unto God. That is the greatest blessing that we could ever have in this life. And I get it. That sounds like, you know, the Sunday school answer to things. You know, what's the greatest blessing in this world? Jesus, right? But listen, that's not a consolation prize. That's not like, a participation award kind of thing. It's the truth. The greatest prize that we get in this world is Christ. He is our portion. He is our prize. He is our Savior. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we prepare for communion at this time. And the volunteers, if you can be ready for that as well. the greatest prize that we have in this life is Christ. Because in Him, we have an inheritance that can never be lost. In Christ, we have a grace that can never be limited. We have a deliverance that can never be excelled, a hope that we can that can never be disappointed, a portion that can never be withdrawn, a joy that has no ceasing, no end, a hope that is very real and true, a nearness to God that can never be reversed, a peace that can never be disturbed, a righteousness that can never be tarnished, a salvation that can never be canceled. In Christ, we are truly blessed. And if you're here tonight and you have not settled on your relationship with God, if you have not reconciled in your relationship with God, listen, if you want blessings in this new year, it needs to start there. It needs to start with your relationship with God. Because nothing else in this world can compare to the love, to the joy, to the hope, to the peace, to the truth that is found in Christ. Again, Jesus said that He's come to give life and to give life abundantly. A life that is flourishing, a life that is lacking nothing. And if you have not reconciled that relationship with God, I urge you tonight, do so. Start the year right. Start the year in the presence, in the relationship with a holy God, made available to you by Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.